This week in the Wicked Wardrobe, I have the lovely Alotta Axolotl, also known as Jeremy, I believe. Hello, welcome.
Hey,
Hey, how you
how are you?
doing?
Oh, not too bad.
Not too bad, not too shabby. And for those of you who've picked it up really quickly, if you haven't listened to Alotta Axolotl, or may I call you Jeremy from the get-go, because that's a mouthful. You're
Yeah,
using it now. Yeah,
Jeremy or
Jeremy's
Axolotl
fine.
is fine,
Yeah.
but
Okay, lovely. If you haven't picked it up, Jeremy's a fellow Australian. I'm a little bit excited to have another Aussie in the wardrobe, because they are few and far between. But I'm excited to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, your username. How I'm really sort of. When I look at it, it's like a lot of axolotl. I know axolotl
Yeah.
clearly, but yeah. So how did that come about?
I don't know. I love alliteration. I
Yes.
have no idea
Yeah.
why, but things that alliterate just tickle my brain. In the nicest way.
Yeah.
And I mean, it kind of coincided with axolotls being added to Minecraft, but I wasn't playing Minecraft at that point, so I don't know if it was like this sort of subconscious thing of just
Okay.
axolotl was being thrown around on the internet at the
Yeah.
time, and of course, like my brain's latched onto it. But I also just like them anyways, and so it was just I knew I wanted when I was picking a name, I knew I wanted to use an animal, and then yeah, that's the kind of where it ended up.
I like it. So you like axolotls? Do you have one? Do you have one? Or
No, I do not.
no? Okay. Yeah. Because I do see some. I have seen some creators in the space who have them, which I find quite fascinating. But okay, so I think we've established that you are a VA, a voice artist, voice actor, however you want to refer to yourself. How long have you been in this sort of naughty audio space?
So I think I joined in, it would have been, God, I want to say like May of last year, May or
Right.
June.
Yeah.
Shortly after my first semester at uni. So it would
Okay.
have been June.
Okay. And how did you get into this space? So
Yeah.
I love
I don't know.
this
So
question. I love this story. Yeah,
yeah.
okay.
Oh yeah. I knew it was going to come up. So I sort of at the, I turned 18 in my last year of high school, and I just sort of really didn't like conventional porn. And I mean, I'm pretty sure now I've worked out that I'm demisexual, and that's a big part of it is if I just
Okay.
look at two people having sex, they have no connection to it. It's just like two potatoes going at each other, and I couldn't care less. And so erotica was what I got satisfaction out of,
Sure.
because it's a lot more of it is about the relationship.
Sure, yeah.
And so then naturally you get into audio erotica and then into GWA. And so that was kind of the route that I followed. And then I was just listening, while I was at university, I was just sort of lurking. I wasn't commenting or anything. And maybe in hindsight, I would have liked to have a little bit more community interaction, but what do you do?
Yeah.
And then it was just sort of at this point where it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, why not? I may as well.
Like, as in
I was
you want to
battling.
contribute and
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
okay,
So, it was sort of a lot of anxiety, lack of sexual experience. So I saw it as a good way to sort of deal with those two things in terms of figuring out what I do and don't like, and doing something that's, anonymous, relatively harmless. If I just decide that, nah, this isn't for me, I can,
Back
leave
out.
and there's no harm, right? And so I just uploaded a verification, and then I think a couple of days later I uploaded my first script fill. And yeah, that was pretty much it.
And were you, first of all, how did you find GWA, or were you always sort of audio inclined, or did
Yeah, I think
that
in terms of
auditory?
finding GWA specifically, I think I was talking to a friend at university about how I struggled with porn and how I just liked reading porn basically. And then it was actually his suggestion. I don't think it was GWA was the specific place that he recommended, but it was a space like that. And then I found GWA through there.
And did that just sort of blow your mind that there's this whole genre of porn, essentially, that is based solely on, well, not solely, but primarily based on this your oral perception, rather than a visual perception.
Yeah, I think it's good because it's again, as someone who's demisexual, it's I'm not looking at some person that I don't know.
Yes, yeah.
It's it can be whoever the hell I want it to be, exactly. Basically, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Which was fantastic. And so yeah, that was kind of great. And then also as someone who makes music and likes playing around with sound effects and things like that, seeing what people came up with in terms of like creating really immersive immersive scenarios.
Yeah.
Was really, really cool. And even now as a VA, that's like one of my main things is if I do a scenario, I've been a little lack lately. A little slack lately, I'll be honest. But trying to create like really immersive scenarios has always been my thing because I enjoyed that the most about audio porn.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And so if I can do that for other people, then I'm happy.
Right. And did you, I guess, having somewhat of a music background then, performance wasn't that big of a stretch then for you? Like, were you nervous about posting your first audio?
Yes and no. I'm not, although I do some singing now on backstage, I never was and still don't really consider myself a singer. That's never really been my primary thing with music.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm making my own music, I have to sing because it's just me making music.
Yeah.
And so I had the equipment to do that. But I'm a guitarist and a drummer first and foremost.
Yeah.
So I was confident in terms of I know this sounds fine, right? I know that this the technically the audio that I've created is fine. The anxiety, and there was a lot of anxiety, was around this thing of I at the time had absolutely zero sexual experience.
Okay.
And so I had no way of confirming whether what I was creating was going to be realistic, given that my goal was immersion. You know, I was really anxious that the lack of experience would come across.
Right.
And thankfully it didn't.
Yeah, I was going to say. So I remember when you first appeared on the scene. And I, yes, was quite impressed with your first few audios and how authentic they seemed, and considering, like you've mentioned, without that real life experience at the time, to be able to create something like that is quite something. I think it's very impressive. So yeah, go you. And obviously it was received very well.
yeah
somehow. And so does it shock you today, because I was having a little look through your profile, because it's been a little while, and I am staggered at the number of followers that you've amassed in this relatively short period of time. It's a little bit of a what the fuck moment, because I just like so recently. If you're unaware and you're listening, Jeremy hit 10,000 followers, which is just mind-blowing.
It's a big number.
Yeah, that's a lot of ears. It's a lot of sets of ears, right? A lot of ears.
Yeah.
So congratulations, I guess. And that brings me to what we kind of understand a little bit now about your motivation for being in this space, but what continues to drive you seeing it's what we're on, you know, sort of coming up 9 months, on around 9 months at the moment. What continues to sort of motivate you in this space and drive you to continue creating?
Well, when I am motivated to create, because I'm not always, unfortunately, and burnout has been something that I've struggled with a lot.
Okay.
But when I am motivated, it's still the same thing. It's still creating a nice, immersive, realistic experience. I've never really dabbled in and don't intend to dabble in the more out there fantasy style audios with like, whether it's like a monster character or any
just
of those sort of things.
They're
entertaining and enjoyable, but I like to think that when you listen to one of my audios, you're pretty much going to get the same thing. It's the scenario is the only thing that's changing.
Sure.
And in a lot of my like BFE audios, it could be the same character. You can see them all in like their own sort of like cinematic universe almost.
Sure.
Right. There's not much difference from audio to audio with a couple of exceptions.
Right.
And so, you know, it's for me, it's about creating, I think for demisexual listeners, especially having someone that they can sort of develop a like almost sort of get to the point of a parasocial relationship, although I don't really like those.
But do you mean more an ongoing connection, like an understanding of the character that you've created?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know that it's axolotl, and you can get that sort of that comfort from that. And so that's a big motivator for me. But also just it's fun. You know? Oh,
hell yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing. I wouldn't be doing it if I wasn't enjoying it, you know.
I hear you. With regards to that, one of the standard questions I sort of ask creators that I have a chat with, has your content changed in any way? And I guess with that, you've probably already answered that, in that you're maintaining that same sort of genre of audio, and you're not really veering too greatly outside of that. Would I be right?
Yeah. I mean, I'll dabble in stuff that's not vanilla. And so now it's sort of exploring different kinks in a way, and sort of like, sure. Well, what am I into? And obviously, if you look at my content, reading is something that I've worked out that I'm really into.
Yeah.
And so that's a recurring theme. Even if the audio is not focused on breeding, there'll always still be a bit of like breeding talk or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but, you know, I'm starting to dabble in other stuff. Like, I'm looking at doing some audios with anal. I'm looking at doing some incorporating toys more into audios.
Brilliant.
All that sort of thing. So that I'm going to start having just basically, at the end of the day, I can't just keep recreating the exact same type of content, because there's no point in listening to the new stuff, because that already exists, right?
Yeah.
And a band can't just re-release albums over and over again.
No, remastered and
otherwise you're Nickelback, right?
Yeah. Well, let's not go there.
I don't want to be the Nickelback of audio.
That's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, I get you.
I do need to start branching out, and sort of being more diverse in what content I have available. And I think I'm also now at a point where I've got enough of those audios of, you know, cushy Friends to Lovers or BFE sort of stuff, where I can branch out, because
they're well established.
Yeah, I've got like over 12 hours now of content of in that sort of vein. So
yeah,
what people want, then they can return to that. But now I can start to branch out more.
Yeah. And has that, what you create, is that at all influenced by your personal preferences, or are you kind of thinking, well, I've got this niche, I'm just going to continue to develop that? Or has the space itself, now that you're a creator and not prime, well, we're all listeners, I get that at the end of the day, but now you are creating and contributing, has that influenced what you personally choose to listen to?
Well, I don't remember the last time I listened to an audio, which is kind of. I've stopped listening for enjoyment pretty much as soon as I started creating. Well, not entirely, but it dipped off a lot.
Mm.
And part of that was, firstly, I started listening a lot more to be critical, to see where I could improve.
Okay.
But the other thing was, you know, about 3 or 4 months into my audio career, I guess, if you want to call it that, I met my partner. And so now I get all of my sexual satisfaction there. And
brilliant. Congratulations.
I'm not really consuming any porn at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Why? Well, if you don't need to, then yay. High-fiving that.
But that has been a big source of inspiration.
Oh, brilliant.
Things that I'm doing with my partner, like, we'll try something. And I'll go, well, that was fucking awesome. And then that's the audio that I record the next day, right?
Right.
So there's been a lot of that.
We're drawing on personal experience. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wherever you get the inspiration from.
I've kind of come full circle in a way, right? Where I've gone from making up for trying to figure out what I'm into to make up for a lack of personal experience as what's fueling my content creation, to now my content creation being fueled by the experiences that I'm having.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And with that, when you talk about your content, you seem to have a balance of your original content and script fills. Are you doing many script fills these days?
I've got a couple. I've got one actually sitting that I've recorded, but I haven't gotten around to editing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why pretty much all of my content is OC now. That I don't know if you're going to get into like my premium content later or not in the interview, but the long and the short of it is, if I'm making premium content that other companies want to purchase, then I need to have full ownership.
Yes.
Which means that And while doing my best to not sound like a sellout, I don't make any money on a script fill.
I understand. Yes. Yeah.
And so if this is becoming a job, then why I don't see the point in
giving it away for
script
free
fills when I could, yeah, I can still make content that is free that other companies acquire the rights to so that they can share them as well. At the same time, script fills are great for warming up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's it. Yeah. It's a different.
So the reason I've got a couple recorded is because they're just great to warm up. So if I'm, if I'm not really in the headspace to record, but I need to record to stick to my schedule, then I can just start with a script fill. Because right. I can just switch off and just perform it. I don't have to think. And then as soon as I'm like, okay, now I'm recording. Now I'm functioning. I can go and I can improvise some OC and then and the reason those script fills generally don't then get put up is because they're the warm up. They're not fantastic anyways, and I'd have to go and re-record them. But
that's really interesting. That's your approach and that's your process now. So you mentioned that you've got commitments outside of what you create for Reddit or public consumption. I too am in that sort of realm, and I know we're aware of each other in that space. So where else can people find you for that premium content?
Well, at the moment, just on Quinn. And so far, things are going well with Quinn, and they've got quite a few audios up on there for me. They have pretty much all of my OC content that's available on Reddit on their platform, but then they've also got some exclusive stuff that they own the IP to that they've got up as well.
So for those of you who are listening who don't know what Quinn is, it's tryquinn.com, tryquinn.com, and both Jeremy and I are creators on there. How long have you been on Quinn? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I think I joined in, I think November was my first month with them.
Yeah. Behind a paywall. And sorry, did you have a Patreon?
I did for a little while. What was happening is because I was working and trying to do audios and taking time off uni to sort of focus on my mental health and some self-improvement stuff, I didn't really, when Quinn reached out to me, I didn't really have time to be creating exclusive content for Patreon and exclusive content for Quinn and still be creating for Reddit. And I think at that time I was creating safe for work content on Reddit, on YouTube, sorry, as well, but I've kind of stopped doing that. So I basically had to choose between Patreon and Quinn. And given that with Quinn, I didn't have to worry about sort of running anything. It was just create content.
Here's my stuff.
Usual.
Pay me.
Yeah. Yeah. That seemed like the better option. And so that's what I've gone with. But starting April, when I officially go full time, and that's when I start like Twitch live streaming and that kind of thing as well. Patreon's coming back. I've already worked out that I'll be making weekly exclusive content on Patreon as opposed to the monthly from before.
Yeah.
I'll still be creating content for Quinn, so I'll have other exclusive content available there, and I'll have the time to be doing all of that now.
Yeah, and it really is. It does become a full-time endeavor, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've only just made that move myself, made that decision really in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm doing this, and whilst it's not my, essentially, it's not my bread and butter, I have decided to commit the time and energy to it because, similarly, burnout is real. I kind of felt that at the beginning of December after No Nut November. Good Lord, that month. I was punching out something every other day or every day, really. And then I just kind of, beginning of December was like, oh, I can't breathe. I can't do this anymore.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. But I think once you make that commitment to being in this space on, dare I say, a semi-professional level, then you have to find your balance, right?
That's right, yeah. And just like if you were going to, work or whatever else. I mean, I was working at McDonald's, right, before I...
Yeah.
While I was starting audios.
Okay.
It's not like you go, I'm not really feeling it today, I'm not going to go in for my shift.
Yeah.
it sort of becomes the same sort of thing. You know, sometimes you are really excited for it. Sometimes it's, I really don't want to do this, and you've just got to buckle down and do it anyways.
And it becomes work, right? And I don't know about you, but for me, that's, I've always said it, the second it becomes work, or I do it because I have to do it. I need to kind of hit the reset button and think, okay, why am I here? Why am I doing this? So harking back to, you mentioned you have a partner now, that in terms of your real life and, friends, family, are people aware of what you do?
Yeah.
And are you pretty open about
generally.
That? Yeah.
Yeah.
And how well, how's that received once they sort of learn that, hang on, whoa, okay, what's that about?
I mean, I'm very, very fortunate to have very progressive and sex positive parents.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that having that conversation with them wasn't even, posting my first audio caused more anxiety than telling my parents that what I do, you know?
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Which I think puts me in sort of a unique position, or at least a rare position to have.
Yeah.
Where they were, mum more than dad, but both were very supportive.
Brilliant.
Of that. And mum's in this weird thing where she doesn't like when I call it porn. Like, she doesn't want to think about it as me making porn. She's just, we'll call it voice acting, and that's sort of how she separates it out.
That's how she reconciles it, yeah.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, they're really supportive because they know the work that I'm doing. It's not, I'm not resorting to sex work because I can't support myself any other way, which is a horrible position for people to be in, and it's terrible when that happens. But that's not the case. I'm in quite a healthy position of, no, this is just something I genuinely enjoy doing, you know, as a hobby. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm helping a lot of people by doing it.
Agreed. Yeah.
And so they could see that pretty clearly, and they were quite supportive. Friends sort of hit or miss with them. But at the end of the day, they don't really have that much control over what I do in my life.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, just like take it or leave it.
No one's going to stop hanging out with me just because they know I like voice act, make porn on the side. Right. Who cares? It's just, if they're not interested, we won't talk about it.
Yeah. Similarly, my best friend knows I do it, but doesn't, it's not her, not that it's not her thing. It's like, she doesn't want to, talk with me about it or discuss it or engage with me on that level. It's like, that's cool. You do you. I'm going to do me.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, sex is very, very different for everyone, right? In terms of not just what it looks like, but how you perceive it. And so if sex is a very, very private thing, then, I can understand not wanting to be involved in that kind of thing. And again, thankfully, having parents who are very sex positive, I too am very sex positive. Yeah. At least I try to be. I hope I am.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm completely okay having conversations about a whole bunch of stuff. It's like,
it's how we're all here, people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. As animals, which you fundamentally are, all we do is eat, sleep, shit, and fuck. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
if you're
completely comfortable telling someone what you had for lunch or how long you slept, then you should be completely comfortable talking about sex too, right? That's where the line's drawn.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, there's a vulnerability.
Everyone,
I guess.
Everyone eats. Everyone fucks. That's and that doesn't mean you need to get into like the nitty gritty of what you did with your partner last Tuesday at 4 p.m.
No.
But it's not like we all have to play this sort of game of everyone pretends that they're not having sex.
Yeah, that'd be a shame. I have to tell you, I told a friend of mine who was kind of aware of what I was doing. I caught up with her last week and I mentioned, that I'm kind of doing this on a fairly regular basis now. And she went, oh, can you send me your link? And I said, I can. Just, knock yourself out. Just leave me a comment, will you? But then she actually messaged me a couple of days ago and she said, hey, guess what? Guess what I ordered? Because I have done some ramble faps and I wax on a little bit about my love aunt's Nora, which I adore, which I know is well adored as a toy. And she said, guess what I just ordered? I went, what, babe? She goes, I ordered a Nora. She's like, yes.
Good on her.
Yes. Brilliant. I think that's a win. Yeah. That's someone who gets it. It's not the first toy I've recommended to her, but I was surprised that she's actually gone through my profile. Whether she's listened or not is another thing, because whatever works for you. But yes, has yeah, I don't know. I just think, Love Ents, if you're listening, yes, thank you very much. Blessed are the toy makers.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's. I'm really glad that you've got that sort of capacity to be open, because it doesn't seem to be a very common position for us as VAs to be in. So it's fantastic to hear that. With regards to you being an Australian male VA, there are few and far between. So represent, you're doing well. It's, you know, I'm really impressed with the followership that you've amassed over the time. With regards to that, how is that, how do you interact, or how do you, you know, considering sort of the parasocial dynamic that can develop within this space, and you being somewhat of a little, dare I say, unicorn, because like I said, there aren't many male, I can probably count them on my hand. I know of four of you actually, and two that have left the space, you know, in the last 12 months. So, you know, compared to our stateside cohort, we are few and far between. How does that, I wonder, does that, do you think that's part of your appeal in this space?
I think it may have been initially, and it may still be for people. I haven't, maybe that's something I should do, because I like surveying my followers, is find out, you know, what the attraction was initially.
Yeah.
And so when I first started creating content, like my first 10 or so audios were all tagged Australian accent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forgot to tag it at one point. And the audio did just as well. And so then I sort of did 50-50 to see if it really made a difference. And I noticed it didn't.
Okay.
And so maybe that was the reason I got traction initially.
You know? Right.
Because if you know, if no one's following you, no one's going to get notified when you've posted, which means that you're relying solely on people who are sorting by new. Whereas once you've got a bit of a following, you're sort of guaranteed to, within the first couple of hours of posting, be somewhere on the hot list if you've got, you know, a thousand or so followers.
Yes.
Not necessarily at the top. But if people scroll a little bit on hot, they're still going to see it at some point.
Yeah.
At least that's what I've seen with my work and with my partner's work.
Yeah, okay.
So I think, initially maybe it was what kind of got the ball rolling. But I don't think if people don't listen to my content and they click on an audio, then clearly they clicked on the audio based just purely on the tags, because they don't know that I've got an Australian accent. Maybe that is why they stay around. I don't know.
Yeah. Do people message you and go, oh my God, I love your accent. Do you get that?
Yeah. From time to time.
Yeah.
But not as often as I thought I would. Mm. You know, it's probably like one in, I don't know. I might get a message about my accent maybe once a month now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it quite regularly still, which surprises me after a year of posting. Yeah. I get it quite regularly. Like, well, thank you. It comes naturally. It is what it is, sort of thing, you know. But I think it is, you are an anomaly. It's actually really refreshing to talk with another Australian creator in the space. I've chatted with 1, 2, 3 so far, and I always find it, saying to Serena Bunny last weekend when we had a chat, that there's a sense of comfort about it for me, and that I think we as a nation generally have a, you know, a fairly relaxed approach. And I know this is a massive generalization, but in this space, but there are lots of things that we do have in common. I find it quite, like I said, refreshing, but also comforting in a way, because I am in my sort of circles, maybe the token Australian. I love it. It's clearly, you know, your audience love it too. So, what are your plans now you've made this decision to sort of formally do this on a full-time basis? What does the next sort of 6 months look like from, do you say you're going to go live in April, did you say?
April, yeah.
No.
So March is a complete write-off for me, because I'm going to be in the States.
Okay.
Then I get back in April, and that's when I'm starting, yeah. So I'm going to have my recording studio built before I leave for the States.
Yeah.
So that I can get back, I can rest, and I can start. And so I'm going to be sticking to 3 public audios a week on Reddit.
Brilliant.
In addition, because I don't like the idea of putting the majority of my content behind a paywall.
Sure.
Purely because I think having some level of accessibility is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone can afford to be paying for an individual creator's content.
Yeah.
So still make sure that I'm getting plenty of public content out. And then weekly exclusive content on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also be doing early access for my public stuff on Patreon as well.
Yep.
I'll then be creating, it depends on what my agreement with Quinn looks like. And that's, that's subject to change every few months anyways.
Yes, it is.
So far it looks like I'm going to be with Quinn for quite some time, which is nice. So there'll be content, for Quinn. And then there's going to be, live streaming as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to be live streaming on weekends. Not much, because I don't want that to become my main thing. I don't want to be a streamer that VAs. I want to be a VA that streams.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
I think that's sort of, it's a non-sexual space. So I'm far more comfortable interacting with listeners and with followers in that environment.
Sure. Yeah. I understand.
Because if I shift the conversation away from sex, I'm comfortable talking with strangers on the internet about anything. But if Reddit is the environment, I'm not comfortable having conversations with people, just because the big thing is I don't know how old you are, right?
Yes.
And so, if I can keep all my interactions with people to just a thank you, or something simple like that, and just ignore anything that's sexual and didn't ask if that was okay first, then I've got all my bases covered. And so I can do that sort of community interaction, actually talk with people that want to chat about stuff in an environment that isn't sexual by nature. Yes.
Yeah. Because in that respect,
I'll just say, it's also for me, as someone who struggles with burnout a lot, it's a different creative outlet. It's still linked. Sure. It's still a lot of axolotl, but it's not voice acting. So it gives me a break from the routine. So I'm not just making audios all the time.
Yeah. And regarding that, your profile as a lot of axolotl, does that creep in every now and then? You get to that in terms of, people hitting you up in your DMs and sending messages and getting. Yeah. How do you handle that? How do you respond to that as a male VA in this space, which can be problematic considering
That's the big thing. Yeah. I don't want to look at what, all the Twitter drama and stuff like that and say,
oh, hell no.
I don't want to have interactions because I don't want to get caught up in that. Because I think if it's sort of like my position with fines, like people who only, the only reason they don't speed is because they're going to cop a fine. It's like, so you're completely comfortable putting other people at risk, and it only becomes an issue for you when there's a cost to you, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. Like,
so, you should not speed because you shouldn't be putting other people at risk. Just as you shouldn't be manipulative and predatory on the internet just because you've amassed a following. So choosing not to interact with listeners, often isn't because I don't want to get caught up in that. It's because I have no desire to head down that path in the first place.
That's really quite prudent. and I'm really pleased to hear you say that, because I guess with such a mass following, in a relatively short period of time, it would be very easy to be caught up in that. But you seem as though, and you obviously are, you've got your head on straight, basically, from how we'd say it, real. It's that it's not, because it's very easy to be caught up and swept up in the oh my god, of it all.
Yeah. Look at me fucking go, right?
Yeah, exactly.
10,000 followers in 9 months. I'm hot shit.
Do you even know who I am?
That's not the case.
Absolutely. And I think this is partly, I'm maybe blowing smoke up my own ass, but I think this is partly an Australian thing, is that we are the first to self-deprecate. We are the first, that whole tall poppy syndrome.
Off.
Yeah, we, I love that you just said fuck oath. Oh my God. Okay, people around the world, if you're not Australian, it's just, it means right on or whatever you want it to be. It's just like, yeah, we
love
to take the piss.
I love fuck oath. I love canoath as well, because canoath isn't a swear word. Knoth isn't a swear word.
You can say
right?
Knoth at Woolies.
It's an abbreviation of fucking oath.
There's no cornflakes. Oh, Knoth! You can.
I love it. It's the best. It's so good.
KFC's out of chicken. Knoth! Yeah, just that whole. Yeah. So I think perhaps as Aussies, maybe we just don't take ourselves too seriously, you know?
And we really don't.
This space, it's. Yeah, you can run into all sorts of bullshit, I guess, if you do, and if you allow yourself to get sort of caught up in it. So
yeah,
with regards extending on that, the whole upvote and the follow account, and how much does that factor into is there even this need for validation as a creator and recognition?
Yeah, I think given that the reason that I joined in the first place had nothing to, like, in order to meet the goals I'd set myself of putting myself out there and exploring my own sexuality, people listening to that content and positive feedback isn't a requirement to meet those goals, right?
Yeah.
I didn't join to get people off. I didn't, there was none of that initially. And so
Your initial motivation wasn't that.
Yeah. I guess that It's nice. It's obviously awesome now that I'm able to do something that I enjoy full time. It's great that the following is there. Maybe that's the reason that I'm not getting caught up in Twitter drama, where it seems a lot of male VAs that have that rapid success do, is my initial goal had nothing to do with getting people off, you know?
Sure.
And so it's not like I've showed up to get people off and it turns out I'm really, really good at it. And then I sort of, you know, get quite self-absorbed in that. It was more a case of, I just want to figure myself out. And if people want to hear along the way, then that's fantastic.
And with that, Jeremy, have you figured yourself out? Do you think are you on a good path? Are you on a good tangent? Then as much as
any other 19-year-old, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
Like I've still got ages. You know, I've got heaps of time to figure out. There's going to be so much stuff that I
encounter. Do we ever really? You know?
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. There's always going to be something next week that I find that I go, well, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, I think I had this weird thing where I went from being someone who didn't have any experience, and especially the amount of real experience I have from someone my age, I'm certainly quite far behind. But I feel that in terms of knowledge and understanding of sex, the fact that I'm creating the type of content that I'm creating, I think the proof is in the pudding. I get it, you know.
Yes.
And so even though there's not that much practical experience, I think I'm ahead and behind at the same time in a way.
Like you say, proof is in the pudding. If you're able to draw on your real life experience and I guess share that and provide that comfort and that, but come at it from a point of understanding, like it's almost like your career, shall we say, is almost like a diary form of your exploration, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah, at least initially. I mean, that's not really, it's not the purpose that it serves now. It's no longer about figuring out, you know, my sexuality generally. You know, maybe it's nice to say, to, you know, dabble in a fantasy and figure out, you know, because it's one thing to consider a fantasy and it's another thing to play out that fantasy. And so audios help with that. And so if there's a kink that I want to explore, then I can use audios to do that in a very safe and controlled environment.
Yeah.
But the purpose has changed a lot, and
it sounds like it.
Part of it becoming a job, like that's going to happen. The purpose, unfortunately, if looking at it artistically, now that the purpose has become money, as a job, you know, I mean, if you're an art purist like I kind of am, I'm still kind of beating myself up.
You're still reconciling it. Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't like that I'm selling out in a way. I don't like that I'm taking this thing that I did for fun and it was just purely artistic and creative and I'm going and ruining it by trying to make money on top, right?
Well, I think it's kind of self-fulfilling in a way in that it enables you to do this on a full-time basis, which then, you know, creates more content, which then reaches more
that's
people,
right.
hopefully.
And, so that's the cyclical approach.
Yeah.
Going full-time with it allows me to be more creative. and make more content, you know?
Yeah.
And so if some of the content is very sell-out-y in terms of a company says, we want an audio that looks like X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
that's what all my Quinn content is. It's very, it's commissioned from Quinn. So.
With Quinn, it's, you know, you're not an employee. It's a contract. You've got a contract with them and they say, we want to acquire some content. And here's sort of the general guidelines of what we want that content to look like. And that process, I don't know how involved you are with Quinn now, but that process has sort of become more and more refined over the last few months. Like they've got a list of themes that have been recommended by I don't know what to call them, but because they're not listeners, because it's Quinn, but subscribers, yeah, users that have recommended or suggested ideas. So they've got all this sort of stuff as well. And they've got the Quinn model, which is 15 minutes, two orgasms. So, like, seven minutes first orgasm, 7 minutes second orgasm, and then, like, a minute afterwards.
Very aware of the model, yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, not that they require all audios to follow that. Again, it's guideline-y type stuff, but it is. It's like a commission in a way. And so, you know, at the end of the day, the Quinn's paying me, and if Quinn says, we want an audio that looks like this, that's what I need to give them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of staying on Reddit and continuing to have free content is even if I do kind of sell out in a way in terms of, you know, I'm using analytics to see what's popular with Patreon content so that I'm catering the content that's behind a paywall to be what people are paying for.
You're curating your content.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I can go and I can make whatever the fuck I want for Reddit because it's free. Like it's, you know, no one's losing money if it's an audio that people aren't interested in. And so that still gives me a way to be as creative as I want while still appeasing people, you know, and trying to make money through Patreon.
Yeah. It's something I've struggled with since I became a creator for Quinn and a couple of other places. That whole what am I doing? I'm reassessing my position and my motivation. It didn't stop me from slow down with Reddit. Actually, I didn't slow down with Reddit until mid December because it was, you know, 5 or 6 times a week, and it just wasn't feasible. And I just thought, well, why have content behind a paywall if you can get all of this stuff pretty much for free? But yeah, you're right. What is required for those commissioned websites and or our own personal paywall platforms, that is much more curated than I kind of feel like Reddit is my space to continue exploring what floats my boat, you know. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful community to be a part of for the most of it. With regards to that, I'm hoping by the time this goes to gets posted, we will have a collab out. So Axolotl is part of a collaboration that I pieced together with three other male VAs. Have you collaborated before?
No, that was my first collab project. So that was kind of scary.
Was it?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. You know, because I've got crippling social anxiety, and it's having to work with other people and all that, you know. And
yeah, it was it. I've I got, wonder if the process. So we didn't do a live record for this one. They're all recorded. All lines were recorded independently. Were you nervous and like, you know, doing the audio drop, just thinking, okay, they go, they go.
Yeah, well, there's a reason I didn't go first, right? I waited for someone else. I waited for someone else to do theirs, and then I listened through to look at what their format was, and then I copied their format.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
I think it was Bruce Shins.
It was Shins,
posted
his
first, yeah. And so then I listened through. I'm like, okay, cool. So that's sort of how he spaced it out and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that it meshes, right, as well.
That's when the illustrious editor, Blue Jay Audio, will, you know, by now will have come through with the goods. But yes, I think the benefit of the live record in that, yeah, all your pacing is, it's there, it's live.
You can read each other.
Respond.
And
Yeah. Keep that flow
getting tone as well. Getting tone, right? You know, absolutely. If you're trying to have a conversation.
Yeah,
you see in scriptfuls all the time, people will read a line and they'll read it incredibly differently from fill to fill.
Yes.
It's still the same line, But it's, you know, if you've the got two people doing it live, this person says this line with this tone, you read them and then you respond in an appropriate tone. If it's done separately and there's a conversation, it's going to be so mismatched.
It has that potential, very much so. Yeah. The first handful of collabs I did were all recorded independently and not even sort of paced. Like, so generally now with collabs, if people aren't able to make the live recording, I just say, at least can you just say the other parts of the dialogue in your head and then, you know, speak your lines just to give the editor a bit of a break. So and make it a little somewhat easier for them in terms of piecing it all together. I get you. I'm glad that was your first, really. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to, I think we might get a sample of that within the next sort of 24 hours. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah, exciting. Is it something that you think you'd want to do again? Or is it just, I guess you've got different priorities now, right, with this?
No, it is something I want to do more of. Yeah. It is something I want to do more of. Yeah. It was one of my goals for this year. Is to do a lot more collabs because it's, you know, it's good for my social anxiety, which is part of the reason I joined in the first place. But they also just seem like fun. You know what I mean? It does seem like fun. And now that this is becoming my job, I need to be a bit more social with the other people that also do this, right? You know?
Expanding out into the community and having even support or advice or, you know, just a sounding board, just go, oh, shit, what do I do with this? Or, you know, how do I do that?
Of course.
And also I'm immensely inspired by the other creators I've been able to have a chat with, but also the ones that I, you know, collaborate with. And, you know, that there have been a handful that I've asked, would, you know, want to have a chat? And they're like, nah. Because it's, you know, it's just... I don't know whether it's stepping out from behind the mic or, you know, behind the Mac or it's different. Because this is you, the creator. It's not you, the identity or, you know, the user profile. This really is you and your process. So, right. With that said, I am looking forward to progress updates on your recording studio. That's really exciting to see that come to life. And so April, we can expect new content. So are you saying because you're off for March, will any content get posted during March?
I'll be making content in March.
All right. We can leave that there. I think I know where that's going. we can leave that one there. But so in terms of things being posted, though.
My goal is actually, to be editing as well throughout March. And maybe not posting all of it. I don't know how much of it's going to Reddit, how much of it's going to Quinn and all the rest of it.
Sure.
I know I definitely want to put some of it on Reddit.
Okay. So.
But yeah, no, there'll be some of that content.
Brilliant. So. For now, where can people find you? I will, so on the subreddit, the Get In My Ears subreddit, I will put all your links, but generally these have been posted to other subreddits that don't allow that. So for now, for people who are listening, where can they find you?
At the moment, all my content is either on Reddit or on Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
I have a request form for audios that get posted publicly.
Yeah.
That's been fantastic as well. Like just having a request form, if I'm like sitting there, I have no idea what to do. I can just flip through that, get an idea. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then obviously I accept commissions as well. Fantastic. Although I've had to increase my commission rates quite drastically to make them viable.
Sure. Sure. They can be very time consuming. Yeah.
But also in terms of what Quinn is willing to pay for. I mean, at the moment where Quinn is my only real source of VA income, everything's sort of centered around what they pay. And so, If Quinn is happy to acquire an audio for however much, right?
Sure.
For X, then I need my commission rates need to reflect that because otherwise I'm wasting time effectively doing commissions.
Absolutely.
It's not that I don't want to do them, but it means that the structure that I've gone with now is my commissions are my personalized ones effectively match Quinn's rates.
Brilliant.
So if you want an audio that only you get, that's fine. If you want something that gets posted publicly, like you've got an idea, it's almost like expediting a request in a way. You can request an audio and there's no guarantee that I'll get around to it. But if you come and you commission me to make it publicly, you're going to get that audio.
Yeah.
And because that's content that was going to get posted anyway, I don't need to charge that much for it.
Sure.
So there's that avenue as well. And so since implementing that, that's been really good.
That's great. That's great that you've got, you know, people can approach you on different levels, I guess. It's,
I don't want to alienate people either and be like, you know, you need to
absolutely.
Be able to.
Well, I think also, you know,
half a week of pay or
but at the same time, you know, it's these followers and those who hit the subscribe button that sort of, you know, as a significant part of the reason that we are where we are and why, you know, some of us, some more than others, sit at, you know, sit in the, that hot top 10 when we post, which obviously gets greater exposure. Then you gain more followers, and it's that not exponential, but it just it's that self-fueling sort of process. I find. So yeah, at some point, I just want to say to those folks, thanks, and I'm going to continue to do that. You know, kind of don't forget where you came from, sort of thing,
absolutely,
because you know, because an Australian will knock you down pretty quick, smart, right? So. we'll go, Oh, well, Axolotl, it's been lovely to chat with you today. I'm really, really excited to see where you're going with all of this. And really, oh, God, I'm stoked to see your recording space once that's up and running. So,
oh, yeah, I'm excited for it as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. Just to really settle into the, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is my thing.
Yeah, you know?
So, yeah, really brilliant. Okay, thank you for joining me today in the Wicked Wardrobe.
Thank you.
It's been a delight. And, oh, gosh, we didn't mention Bunnings. Oh, my God. I need to kind of make it a rule that every time or each time, because there's going to be so many more now, every time I have a chat with an Aussie, we need to mention Bunnings. So for those of you who don't know, didn't listen to or haven't listened to my chat with Serena Bunny, Bunnings, it's for those in America, it's your Home Depot. For those in the UK, it's your B&Q. For those anywhere else, sorry, mate, I don't know. It's a hardware store. It's a big one. And we're really lucky because we get sausage and bread at it. So yeah, suck on that. So it's an institution to go get your sausage.
I've got to ask. You have them with or without onions?
Ooh, see, the thing is, I used to run those bloody sausage sizzles. I've done a fair amount of fundraising in my time.
Yeah.
And I am always with.
Oh, absolutely,
And that's the question. It's good. Like with or without, you know, about.
That's right. You know, I'm at the point where when I order one, it's just I'll have two with, thanks.
Like, yeah, that's it.
You know,
and everybody
you don't
knows.
Need to specify that it's onions.
No, it's two with, two without. Yeah,
there's
one
nothing
with,
else
one
on there.
No, exactly. Just like sauce, get itself. You know, sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And do you want to drink with that?
Get a Coke out the esky, and
that's it. Right, that's it. So yeah, as if you need like Bunnings lunch, we call it. Just like I'm hungry, and it's like I'm a bit strapped for cash. I've got money in the ashtray, let's go. We're going to Bunnings. Just get sausage on the weekend. Hey, did you know in my state, and I'm not sure if it's the same in yours, back when COVID vaccines were difficult to get a hold on, and if you're an anti-vaxxer, I'm not getting into it, full stop. but in my state, you could go to Bunnings and get the jab at the same time. They were doing the
really?
Come get your sausage. So and
you can get your plywood.
Yep.
And then you can get your jab, and then you can get a snag when you're done.
That's
fucking awesome.
Right.
I know where I'm moving. Fuck.
Canoes.
Canoes.
I love it. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's still the case. But Serena told me that they do paywave. They do the whole square situation at her Bunnings. It's like, because, you know, we're not doing cash because of COVID.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you really, that's, you're winning. That is such a winning day at Bunnings.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, mate. I really appreciate you joining me and look forward to seeing you in the wild.
Thank you. Take it easy.